So in some ways, Missoula is better off than some communities because we actually have several providers. However, when you get into the faster speeds and higher capacity networks that folks in the big data sector need, or folks doing GIS work, or other technology-based companies, or even companies that do consulting or sort of the back-end work, they really need extreme broadband, or next-generation broadband, as
super
we're calling
fast.
It. So it's much different from what you or I have at home and, you know, watch our Netflix on or whatever. This is this is like broadband to the extreme, and that's what we're really going after. So it's really kind of a unique niche, and it's one that might not ever really be solved on its own if just left to the market. So that's partly why it seemed like it was time for local government to step in and just say, how can we help create the conditions for the providers to offer this at a reasonable cost? Because right now they can offer it, but it's like over $1,000 a month. And you can imagine if you're a, you know, a tech startup in Missoula, Montana that's been bootstrapping it out of your basement, that's a pretty high cost to plan for.
When you say it's probably not something that the market would fill, is that because the market is so small? Or
Partly. And I think the feasibility study will do a better job of fleshing that out. But just from the research and the work that we've done in the past year, that's kind of my sense. And just from talking to businesses, I mean, a lot of these bigger companies, like CenturyLink is an example, you know, they're a very big company. And they actually are committed to investing in repairs and doing more fiber in Missoula. And Missoula actually has quite a bit of fiber in the ground, from what we can tell. Obviously, some of that information about where the actual, you know, fiber cables are is secret or proprietary. But from what we know, based on what the state has gathered through their broadband mapping project and just from talking with the providers, it does seem like we have a lot of fiber. It's just not necessarily lit, and it's not necessarily running into the buildings where the people are who need it.
Mm-hmm. And this is a need that's been identified not just for existing business, but this is also an economic development recruitment tool, right?
Definitely. Well, just like you know, when a site selector comes to town to help decide where, you know, his client or her client should locate their business, they look at things like utility costs. And any more broadband is really seen, you know, as a utility, even though it's not public here in Montana or here in Missoula. It really is part of the cost of doing business. So while it's great if you have an awesome quality of life and you can go fly fishing on your lunch break and all of these things that we love about Missoula, the cost of power and broadband and all of these things do factor in. So it's definitely a boon to existing businesses, and that was borne out by the technology survey that we did last fall. But hopefully it would also help entice other folks to locate here.
And this is the future, isn't it, Caitlin, in terms of technology? The needs are only going to grow. You know, whether or not Missoula becomes some high-tech center or not,
yeah,
it's still a need that's out there, and it's not going to go away.
I think so. I mean, personally, part of why I care about this is, you know, I'm 29. This is definitely technology is a big part of my life and my education and my job, and, you know, partly why I have been in demand as a professional in this community is because I understand social media and some of these things, you know? So it really is the wave of the future. The other reason that I personally am passionate about this issue is because I just love Montana, and I would love to see us be able to diversify our economy so that we're not just reliant on extraction and that we're not just a park for rich people. I mean, I feel like there has to be this third way, and innovative technology is really how I see us moving forward to a place where kids don't have to leave, you know, to find a job when they graduate from school, and people can just afford to live here, and we don't have to sacrifice our environment in the process.
And to be competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. And these technology jobs really pay, you know, wonderfully well. Like the Missoula Economic Partnership has a benchmark of, you know, trying to attract jobs that pay on average $37,000 a year. And just from the folks that I speak to in the technology sector, you know, their starting salaries in the 60s, you know, $60,000 a year, $70,000 a year. And I just think that would be amazing. You know, I have a lot of friends who would love to have that kind of salary and be able to afford to live in Missoula with our high cost of living. So
do I.
Yeah.
Caitlin, it is a feasibility study. It is possible the study will say it's not feasible.
Yeah. And if that does, you know, I feel like there's always room for improvement. And there are certainly other avenues that the subcommittee is already talking about pursuing around figuring out how we can either reduce or structure our impact fees maybe differently to help offset the impact fees for folks that are creating jobs with whatever, you know, construction they're doing, essentially. And also with the hiring of the new development services person, Mike Haynes, looking at how we might be able to continue to make that office more business friendly, because Missoula does kind of have a reputation of being anti-business. I think we can, you know, have our cake and eat it too, and we can be kind of this liberal hippie stepchild of the rest of the state, but we can also be a great place to do business. And I think, you know, a lot of the places that are thriving now and have survived the recession are these kind of quirky places around, especially around the West, the Pacific Northwest and the Intermountain West, that kind of get it and have this Missoula vibe going. And I think, you know, broadband totally fits into that.
If all were to go as well as you would hope, and the feasibility study said, yes, this is a great idea for Missoula, and here's how you can proceed, when would you hope to have that in place?
Right. So the plan is to hopefully get the RFQ out in the next week or two, request for qualifications, so that we can get some consultants in to bid on doing the feasibility study. And we have some local folks who are interested. And, you know, certainly I always like to try to help local people get the contracts if they can. And then we would have a 90-day turnaround for conducting the study. You know, things don't always move that fast in government, but I'm an action person, and I'm going to try to make us have some really good recommendations going into the fall and the next budget cycle.
So, and maybe have extreme broadband in 2014?
You never know. I mean, never say never. I think it'll be interesting. I'm really most interested to see what are some of the different operational models that could exist and how we can really partner with existing providers. Rather than doing some sort of community broadband solution like other folks have done. One, that's really hard to do without a publicly owned power utility. And second, it's, you know, it upsets a lot of the folks that are doing this as their private business. And I think that those companies have a lot of expertise and they provide a lot of great jobs in our town. And I hope that we can keep them on board as we move forward.
Well, I have been speaking with Missoula City Councilwoman Caitlin Koppel talking about bringing extreme broadband to Missoula and the feasibility of that. Caitlin, thank you.
Thank you.